RH, I will say good morning. Let's begin. A lot to do today. We are up to today's daf is Samech Beis 62. Actually, we are starting Mamish, top of the daf, Ketzot. Ketzot, pretty amazing. So the Gemara says as follows. So what we're dealing with over here, this actually is one of these, it's actually very exciting. This is one of these dafim of Daf Yomi that is Mamish like a perfect blot. Because the Gemara begins at Ketzot, and you're going to see the it goes. There's a Mishnah that literally begins at the top of Samech Gimel. So this is like, you know, if you're looking like for a good, what do they call it when you put like your picture on your WhatsApp or on your the picture, you know, whatever. Okay, good. Ketzot also good. So the Gemara says, what's the process? We're still continuing. What's the process for Tnufa, right? For waving. So the Gemara says, Ketzot also, what do you do? So maniach imurin al pisas hayad. So we'll say, we're now going to talk about something very interesting, which is, what do you do in a situation where halacha lemaisa, you're waving multiple items? What's the order in which you place them? What's the order in which you place them on your hands? And ultimately, the transfer as well. So, Ketzot Osa, Maniach Imurna Pisas Hayad, you take the sacrificial parts onto the coin. Take the sacrificial parts, sacrificial parts go on his hand. V'chazei v'shok aleihen, and then in an animal which also has chazei v'shok, in which the chest and the thigh are waved as well. Aleihen, you put them on top of the Imurin. U'b'chomokim sheish lechem, and wherever there is bread to be waved as well, halecha milamalo, the bread goes all the way on top. So the Gemara says, hecho. So the Gemara says, Rashi says, hechon, ashkechon de lechem lamalo. Where do we know? How do we know that bread goes on top? From where do we know that? So the Gemara says as follows, amara papa bimiluim. The truth is, we see that ultimately by the miluim. We're both said the miluim. Remember, again, the pasuk says, techsev umisal amas asashal efnei Hashem, vayasem ala chalavim, v'al shok. So remember, the miluim are the inauguration services, or the inauguration sacrifices, I should say, by the Mishkan. So it's see by the miluim, where there was lechem, the lechem went on top. So from here we see that ultimately, again, lechem goes on top. Shabbos say, what the Gemara just did for us is give us a very important order. So according to what the Gemara just said, coin's hand, a murin, sacrificial parts, chazei v'shok, chest and thigh, and bread on top of that. And that is what is waved, or I should say, waved, right? By the Kohen. So the Gemara says, Amra Papa, b'miluim my taimo. So what's the reason by miluim? Ultimately, again, there's this halacha. Ilim mishum dichsiv shok hatruma v'chazei hatnufa. So you can say the pasuk says it quite explicitly. So what does that mean? The thigh and the chest go al ishea chalavim. Ishea chalavim also means what? The fats or the items that are burnt on the fire. Yaviu lahanif tenufa. You will bring them ultimately to go ahead and what? To wave them before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I have a haksiv, but one second, you have a contradictory pasuk that says, Esachiliv al hachoze yivi enu. But say this pasuk makes it sound like what? It's actually very interesting. This pasuk makes it sound like that it's the chest and the thigh that are on the hands of the coin, and the emur and the sacrificial parts go on top of them. So which one is it? Is it Rabosai? Is it emurin chazei v'shok lechem, or is it chazei v'shok emurin and then lechem? To which the Gemara says, Amar Abaye, no. Hahu demaisi lekoin mibeis hamebatrim. Shabbosai, that's talking about when the coin goes ahead and brings it from the slaughter chamber. When the coin is bringing out the items, so the way he's bringing it out, Shabbosai, is he has the chazeh, he has the chest and the thigh on the bottom, the sacrificial fats or the sacrificial parts on top. He brings it out. They'll both say the way it works is when how does he place it into the hands of the second Kohen? He takes it and essentially flips it. So that when it comes to the hands of the second Kohen, who's the one who's actively doing the Avodah, or the one who's doing the Tenufa, excuse me. So ultimately, again, then it's a Murin and then Chazei Vishok. So the Gemara says, Rabbi, who do my second base? Veramile. And he turns it over. He flips it over. Vaksiv. Vaksiv. But one second, but the Pasuk says, Vayasimu Esachalavim Alachazos. But one second, there's another pasuk I will say that says that you shall go ahead and put the imurin on top of the chazei v'shok. So what's happening there? Who wants to get ready for this? Hahu diyahev le'lekoin achrina. the second Kohen then gives this to a third Kohen, va'azil u'makdirle, who then goes to burn it. So we'll say, so watch this. This is what the Gemara is saying. So the first Kohen who brings the pieces out from the what he calls the Beis HaMatbachim, from the slaughter chamber, so the way he's bringing it out is how there's going to be first Chazei v'Shok, and then a Murin. He brings out to the second Kohen, flips it over to the second Kohen. In other words, that's the way he translates it. He just flips it into the second Kohen's hands. The second Kohen who does the Tenufa, what is it going to look like when it's the Tenufa? When it's the Tenufa, it's Emurin, and then Chazei v'Shok. Second Kohen then goes ahead and gives it to a third Kohen who is going to burn it. We'll say the transfer always takes place by a flipping. So second Kohen gives it to the third Kohen and flips it. So when the third Kohen goes to burn it, what happens? Ultimately, again, it's Chazei v'Shok on the bottom and a Murin on the top. So we'll say, v'kamash malon, what do we see from here? Deba'inan shlosha kohanim. We'll say, first of all, this is amazing. So you see from here that what? You need three kohanim in this particular service. So anytime there's a tenufa, we have three kohanim. One who's bringing the pieces or the parts from the Beis HaMatbachim, from the slaughter chamber, a second one who's doing the tenufa, and a third one who's then going to actively burn it on the Mizbeach. Dichsiv, why do we need three kohanim? Mishum dichsiv, berov am hadras melech. Because we'll say that's actually quite beautiful, because we learn from here, berov am hadras melech, or I should say, now we learn from here, but because of the, literally again, with the multitude of the nation, the king's honor, right, is the honor of the king. The idea being, if you look at Rashi, v'hakamash shmolon, hanach shlosha krai deba'inan gimel kohanim, debalav shlosha, lo mishpach, lo mishkach, zes chapchi kules. First of all, three psukim correspond to the three kohanim. And I've also said, the idea is, Barovam, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's covet is greater served when there are more people involved in the avoda. Beautiful. Ushtei alechem ushtei kivsei atzeres. So we'll remember again, next case was the shtei alechem, which is the loaf offering by Shavuos, and the shnei kivsei atzeres, as well as the two lambs. So the Gemara says, Tan Rabbanon, vehinif, still in Tenufra, we'll say, Tan Rabbanon, vehinif akoin osam alechem abikurim. So ultimately the Pasuk says that the coin will go ahead and wave them alechem abikurim, together with the bread of the Bikurim, which again, Abba says, reference to the Shtei HaLechem. Here we go. Yochol Yaniach Kivosim Agabi HaLechem. So Abba says, I might have thought that what? That I should put the sheep on top of the bread. Or Abba says, here's what I have. I have lambs and I have loaves. Lambs and loaves. Right? So Abba says, I have to do tenuf, I have to do waving on both. So now we established beforehand, is that what? What's wrong? Lambs and loaves. Beautiful. Beautiful. I love it. I was thinking like a Jewish music band, but you know, you could do either one. Good. So the Gemara says over here, well, so I have to do tenufa on both. So the shayla that we just established beforehand is halacha lemaisa, whenever I have multiple things that I'm doing tenufa on, how do I stack them? So I might have thought that I would put the lambs on top of the loaves. So the Gemara says, so turn around on the yachol yaniach kvasma gabi alechem. Tamud lomar al shnei kivasim. Therefore, I will say the pasuk says on top of the two lambs. So that is, which sounds like I place the bread on top of the lambs and wave them together. Iyal shnei kivasim yochol lechem al gabi kivasim. So if that's the case, maybe then. So you're telling me then that I'm putting the loaves on top of the lambs. Tamud lomar al lechem habikurim. So we'll say, so the pasuk says, on top of the loaves. So we have a problem. Nishtakil hakasa ve'eni yode im lechem al kvasim, al gabi kvasim, v'im kvasim al gabi lechem. So we'll say, here's the problem. The problem is we have two contradictory inferences. One inference tells me that I would put the loaves on top of the lambs, and one tells you that I'll put the lambs on top of the loaves. So, and again, and I'm not sure, again, I will say, and they're both equally compelling, right? They're both equally correct. So what should I do? To which the Gemara says, listen to this. Mematzinu b'chol makom lechem lemala, afkan lechem lemala. So the truth is, we'll say, when in doubt, let's look at what's done in other circumstances. So what is done in other circumstances? In other situations, ultimately, again, we find the lechem on top. So to over here, we'll put the lechem on top. Amra papa. So the Gemara says, hecha, where do we find that the lechem goes on top? So like we said before, b'miluim, we find it by the inauguration services, right? By the inauguration sacrificial services, we find the lechem on top. Rabbi Yossi ben Amshulam, this is actually very interesting. Rabbi Yossi ben Amshulam says, no, kvasim lemalo, you actually put the sheep on top and put the loaves under the sheep and wave it like that. So loaves on the Kohen's hands, sheep on top of the loaves, and you wave it all together. So here's the problem. Umani mekayim al shnei kivasim. So we'll say, but here's the problem. The pasuk says al shnei kivasim, which sounds like what? That you should put the loaves on top of the bread, you should put the loaves on top of the sheep, not the sheep on top of the loaves. To which Rabbi Yossi ben Meshulam says, Lahosi Shiva. We'll say, in fact, on Shavuos, you're bringing a total of 7 lambs, right? Or I should say, you're bringing an additional 7. Rashi says over here, Lahotzi Shiva, Shashiva Kvasim Shal Ola, Haboim Al Halechem Bechovasim. There are 7 other sheep that come as an Ola for Shavuos. The halacha is, Ein Tu'unin Tenufa Malechem. These other 7 animals do not require waving together with the bread. So we'll say, so the Gemara is suggesting that's what it comes to exclude. Chanina ben Chachi Noyomer, Maniach Shtei Halechem Bein Yirakosei and Shalkevas. Well, so this is actually an interesting idea. So Chanina ben Chachi Noy says, you actually place the bread between the legs, between the thighs of the animal. So let's say, now what does that mean? Now listen to this, Umanit, and you go ahead and you wave them like that. Now Rashi says over here, Bein Yirakosei, what it means is as follows. Shemashkiv hakvasim al masnehem. Essentially, you cause the animal, I don't know what the technical term is, but like to crouch, but what it does is, meaning the animal is going to fold its back legs under it. What are you going to do? But not totally. I mean, there's a space there. I guess it's crouching. You're going to cause the animal to crouch, but with the bottom legs bent in, so that this way, again, you could place the loaves between the legs and the body of the animal. They'll say, so what does that accomplish? If you think about it for just a moment, you accomplish both psukim. On one hand, you have the sheep on top of the loaf, but you also have what? The loaf on top of the sheep. So there's the body of the sheep that's on top of the loaf. There is the loaf that is on top of the leg, so it's on top of the sheep. And that way, again, you fulfill both. Because also remember, again, we have pasuk ambiguity or pasuk confusion, right? Which, because again, am I putting the loaves on top of the sheep on top of the loaves, and the pasuk seems to indicate both. Sefer Chanina ben Chachima comes up seemingly with a very good approach. And beautiful, you end up fulfilling both psukim. This you have sheep on top of the loaves and loaves on top of the sheep. Except for one problem, we'll say. What's the one problem? It's disgusting, right? So, we wanted to say, but she didn't want to sound sacrilegious. I understand. Amar Rebbe, what are you talking about? Lifnei melech basar vadam ein osin kein. Can you imagine this? You put loaves between the legs of sheep, and you wouldn't give that to a human king. You wouldn't give it to anyone, right? And therefore, you wouldn't do this for a human king. Lifnei melech machay amachem akadosh baruch hu osin kein. It's a fantastic. I'm sorry. It's a fantastic idea. It's just like a little gross. You know, remember again, I will say, these are loaves that people eat, right? The Kohanim eat these loaves. So therefore, again, it doesn't make sense from a practical perspective. Ella, so what do you do? So I will say, but here's the problem. The problem is I have to reconcile the psukim, meaning at the end of the day, how am I going ahead and fulfilling both the psukim that says that the loaves go on top of the sheep and the sheep go on top of the loaves? Oh, a very simple resolution. Ela, maniach ze bitzad ze umenif. So the answer is, I place the sheep next to the loaves and I wave them like that. In fact, the loaves don't go on top of the sheep. The sheep don't go on top of the loaves, right? Rather, they're one next to the other, and I wave them like that. But here's the problem. V'haba inan al. The Gemara says, but I don't understand. Both of the psukim, even though they're contradicting each other, clearly indicate that what? Al. Al rabosai means what? We assume it means what? One thing on top of the other. So how do you satisfy al by placing them one next to the other? Rabosai, listen to this. Amalei Rav Chista, Rav Hamnuna. From Amalei Rav Hamnuna, Rav Chista. Rebbe letamei da'amar al b'samuch. I will say Rebbe goes according to his previously established reasoning, which is Rebbe holds that al, the word al, need not only mean on top, but al could also mean what? next to, adjacent. They both say, now not adjacent like here and here, adjacent meaning right next to each other. Where does Rebbe get this from? And they both say, this actually has incredible ramifications. If you begin to interpret al, not just as one on top of the other, but you begin to interpret al as even samuch next to each other. Listen to this sanya, here we go. Vinasata al hama'areches levonozako. You shall go ahead and you shall place on the ma'areches, so we'll say, talking about the shulchan. You shall place on the shulchan, levona zaka. They both say, what's levona zaka? Levona zaka is pure levona. Pure levona. So Rebbe Omer, al besamach. Rebbe says, al, by the way, doesn't literally mean that it has to be on the ma'areches, that it has to be literally on top of the lechem. Rather, what does it mean? Besamach, next to the lechem. Ata omer al, we'll say first of the wide lines, not the widest lines, but wide lines. Ata omer al besamach eino ela al mamish. Maybe al means actually on top. Kishomer, we'll say, here we go. Visakosa al ha'olon es haparoches. So Rabbi say, listen to this. This pasuk is talking about by the Mishkan. It's talking about v'samta sa'arona edus v'sakosa al-arona saparochas. So what does the pasuk say? You shall put the tablets into the aron, and you shall put the literally v'sakosa al-arona saparochas. Rabbi say, it's talking about putting up the curtain between the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Now remember again, the curtain does not go on the aron, but rather the curtain goes next to the aron. Yet you see the pasuk uses the lashon of what? Al. So from here you see Ato Omer Al Besamuch. Havi Omer Al Besamuch. Therefore, Rabbi say, you see that Al ultimately means what? Al ultimately means Samuch. So Rabbi say, so therefore again, Rebbe posits that Halacha Lemaisa, we resolve the pasuk confusion in a very simple way. You're not putting lechem on top of the kvas. You're not putting bread on top of the sheep. You're not putting lambs on top of the loaves. Nor are you putting loaves on top of the lambs. Instead, what are you doing? You're putting them one next to the other. And you're waving them like that, together. One next to the other. I, what about al? Rebbe understands, and this is how the Gemara seemingly passes, this is how the Rama passes as well. Al doesn't have to mean on top. Al can simply mean one next to the other. Beautiful. Says the Gemara, molech umevi malu mor. So we'll say, what is the process for tenufa? So the process for waving is, molech umevi, so the coin goes out and back in, Ma'ale umorid, up and down. That is tenufa. That's waving. Amar b'chiyah b'rava, amar Rabbi Yochanan. Molech umevi. So we'll say, what's the symbolism here of these movements? Listen to this. Molech umevi. So we'll say, a person, the coin takes it in and out, right? So extends it out and brings it back in. Lemi sharuchos shalo. Symbolizing ultimately again that this karban is the one to whom the ruchos. I will say, so ruchos means directions. All the directions, meaning in and out, represents HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mastery or autonomy over every single direction of the world. Also, ruchos means the winds. But this idea is in and out, symbolic of every direction. HaKadosh Baruch Hu controls every direction. Ma'ale umorid, up and down, l'misha shemayim va'aret shalo. Ultimately, again, this is, symbolizes the one who, to whom heaven and earth belongs. Right? So, we'll say, so the idea is that what the coin is doing is the coin is offering the carbon. Who am I offering the carbon to? Obviously, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How do I show the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Molech Hu, maybe. The Ribono Shel Olam controls every direction. Ma'ale u'morid. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu controls heaven and earth. So the Gemara says, Ma'arava masnu hachi. So in Eretz Yisrael, they had the following interpretation. Well, it's actually quite a beautiful Gemara. Amr Chambar Okva Amr Biosi Arvi Chanina. Molech u'mevi. Why does the coin bring the carbon in and out? Molech back and forth, I should say. Kedei la'atzwa ruchos ros. Rabbi says, so again, this is not a contradiction, it's just a further explanation. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who controls all the directions and all of the winds. So hopefully by taking the carbon and waving it in the different directions, forward and backward, that hopefully serves as a schus to prevent negative winds, ruchos ros. Rabbi says, ruchos ros is not an esoteric ruach ra. It literally means winds which are detrimental to agriculture, winds that are detrimental for different things. Ma'ale umorid, he takes the carbon up and down, kedei la'asar talalim ra'im. in order to prevent the negative rain. So Rebbe say, rain is not always a bracha. Remember from our Gemara, Maseches Tainis days. I mean, the truth is, we're seeing this now, right? What's right in what's happening in Florida? So, meaning, but in Eretz Yisrael, even Eretz Yisrael, rain is not always a bracha. Only rain at the right time and the right type of rain. Right? Remember again, the Gemara talks about there's Yored, there's Malkosh, there's all different types of rains that are necessary at different times. So the idea is that when the coin goes in and takes the carbon, and he's molichu, maybe back and forth, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have mastery over all the directions, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have mastery over all of the winds. Please only withhold the negative winds. Ma'ale umorid, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have control over the heavens and the earth and the rainfall that falls from the heaven to the earth. Please only give us the positive rains. Am Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Abin, Zosamer, so this is actually quite beautiful. Zosamer, this teaches us that Shiari Mitzvah Ma'akvin Esaparon. So we'll say, you see from here, by the way, the power of Shiari Mitzvah. We'll say, what is Shiari Mitzvah? Shiari Mitzvah, like the Shiraim, the leftover of a mitzvah. So what's leftover mitzvah? Not the Iker mitzvah. It's not the Iker. It's not the primary part of the mitzvah. It's just like a little secondary part of the mitzvah. Because also remember again, Tenufa is not the Iker mitzvah. The Iker mitzvah is the carbon. Tenufa is just like a little leftover. It's like a little piece of the carbon. It's a little piece of the mitzvah. So the Gemara says, you see from here the power of even Shiari mitzvah. Even a small appendage of a mitzvah. The Gemara says, so also Shiari mitzvah ma'akvin es haparanos. You see from here, we'll say that even a small little piece of the mitzvah, a leftover piece of the mitzvah, a small little detail of the mitzvah, has the ability to prevent negative things from occurring. The hot nufa shiari mitzvahi, because we'll say waving is what we call shiari mitzvah, and yet va'otzeres ruchos ros utilalim ra'im. Yet apparently it has the ability to prevent negative winds and negative rains. So we'll say, so first of all, this in and of itself is a very profound idea. How every part of a mitzvah is powerful. Even the non-prime, even the secondary parts of a mitzvah. Even again, the shirayim of the mitzvah. Even the little parts of a mitzvah. Every single part of a mitzvah to do, Rabbi Yossi, has incredible power. Because you see from here again that the coin through the tenufa, which Rabbi Yossi again is not a primary part of the karbanic service, has the ability to have such a dramatic impact on all the directions of the world and on the heavens and the earth. It's an incredible mussar for us in the performance of our mitzvos as well. We often think that sometimes it's just about getting the primary objective done and the secondary mitzvah details are not as important. We see from here the power even of the secondary details. Amar Rabba, so we'll say again we're a little bit late, but still again we're early for next year. V'chein lulav. I will say this is the same idea by the na'anuim by lulav. Right, people say, what do we do? Essentially, again, if you think about it, what are we doing with lulav? What are we doing? We're doing tenufa. Just a little bit of an expanded tenufa. We'll say, although we're not going to get into it now, you know that there is a fundamental machlokes, have you shown him, how you do na'anuim by lulav. If you look at Rashi, Rashi says, v'chein lulav, ba'inon molech umevi. What's going to be something amazing? Shitas Rashi is that na'anuim does not go in every direction. Na'anuim goes forward and backwards. That's it. Molech umevi, ma'ale umorid, that's na'anuim. Where does Rashi get that from? Because Rabbi Yossi, you see from here, the Gemara clearly says, links na'anuim with tenufa. Just like tenufa, ultimately, again, molech umevi, ma'ale umorid, that's it. Again, other Rishonim understand lulav is different, that we go in every, which is obviously how most Paskin, it's going in multiple different directions. So okay, you'll look into it on your own. So the chaim in lulav, we'll say so too by lulav. The idea by lulav, we'll say, now when the Gemara is saying two things by lulav, the Gemara says amar avacha bar ya. So before we go on, so the Gemara says two things by lulav. Number one, the chaim le'inyan lulav means that the same way you do tenufa is the same way you shake your lulav, and also by extension, it could very well be that the same symbolisms by tenufa are the same symbolisms by lulav. Molech umevi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have control over every direction. Therefore, prevent the negative winds from occurring. Ma'ale umorid, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have control over heaven and earth. Therefore, only provide us with the correct type of rainfall. Ravach Abba Yaakov, mematile umaisile, umachvihaki. So, also this is Ravach Abba Yaakov, mematile umaisile. He would go ahead and bring it back and forth. And he would go ahead, I should say, yeah, bring it back and forth. Umachvihaki, and he would say the following. Va'amar. Gira be'ini de sitna. Satan, there should be an arrow in your eye. he would literally like tell the Satan, this should be an arrow in your eye. What's the pshat? So we'll say, so the idea that he was saying, that Rav Achara Yaakov was saying is, you see how no matter what's happening to us, the Jew always performs mitzvos. So Satan, no matter what you try to do to us, you will be unsuccessful because the Jew has mitzvos. So the Gemara says, v'lav milsihi, this is probably not a good idea. Mishum da'asi les gurebe. Don't start up with the Satan. In other words, do what you have to do. Do what you have to do. It's probably not a good idea to start up with the Satan. Why? Because if you provoke the Satan, ultimately, again, Dimulas Kreber means he'll start up with you. You know, this goes back to the famous Maisa of David HaMelech, where David HaMelech felt exceptionally confident, you know, in his ability to thwart any effort of the Satan. And the Satan tempted him in a way in which he failed. So the idea is we don't start up with the Satan. I do my thing, I do my mitzvahs, but there's no need to stick an arrow in anyone's eye, lest I provoke them. So the Gemara Satan HaBanas. Well, so this, by the way, there's so much more to say on this Gemara, both Alt's symbolism as well Alt's halacha, but we'll go on. Tana Rabbanan. We'll say first of the widest lines, Tana Chvez Mandala. Tana Rabbanan. Zivche Shami Tzibor, Tunin Tenufa. We'll say, so Zivche Shami Tzibor, which again are shlamim, individual shlamim offerings, require Tenufa. La'achar Shchita, after the animal has been slaughtered, utnufa son kimos shehen devei rebbe, and ultimately again their tnufa is as is, which also means we do tnufa on the slaughtered animal, but the animal is whole. This is before they cut up the animal. So again, this is for individual shlamim. After they slaughter the animal, you do tnufa on a whole animal. Devei rebbe, v'cham necham seino b'chazei b'shok. Chum say, no, you only do tenufa, we'll say, on the individual shlamim, just with the chest and the thigh. So makom efker, we'll say, so what are they arguing about over here? So bidon mina uminei. So let's listen to this. Bidon mina v'uki ba'asra kamifagi. But let's say, so what they're arguing about pretty much is like an exegetical principle, which is that when you learn one thing out from the other, after you learn out that initial concept, what do you then do? Do you learn out other things from the source law, or do you go ahead and simply now take that learned item, embed it in the derivative law, and continue to learn everything out from the details of the derivative law? Actually, I said that just the opposite. When you learn out, let's say it was a simple idea. When you learn something out from A from B, we're going to see this illustrated in just a moment. Do I take that concept? I learned out from A from B. So now I take that concept. Do I learn out other things from B to A? Or do I just take that one thing, embed it back in A, and then use the rest of the details of A to round out the halachic picture? You're going to see how this comes out in just a moment. Rabbanan Savri, the Rabbanan say, that made more sense, right? I know, it's much better. Rabbanan Savri, watch this, I'll say, don minei umina. Listen to this. Mazir cheshami yachet tunin tenufa lachar shchita. So we'll say, just like an individual shlamim requires tenufa, requires waving after shchita, af ziv cheshami tzibor tunin tenufa lachar shchita. So to Rabbi, say, kamino shlamim also require tenufa for after shchita. Umina. And Rabbi, say, I can learn out from there. Ma hasam. We'll say, so in other words, I'm learning out. So just like individual shlamim requires tenufa, so too again what? Communal shlamim requires tenufa. Umina, just like communal shlamim, when you do tenufa, ma'hasam b'chazei b'shok, just like by communal shlamim it's done with the chest and the thigh, apacha, so too by an individual shlamim b'chazei b'shok. We'll say that's the Rabbanon's logic. So I learn out. So again, just like individual shlamim has tenufa, so too communal shlamim has tenufa. Just like communal shlamim has tenufa on chazei v'shok, so too individual shlamim has tenufa on chazei v'shok. For Rabbi Savar, don minei ba'oka ba'asra, learn out from it, but establish its halachos ultimately in its proper place. Ma'ziv cheshami yachet tunin tenufa la'achar shchita. Just like Rabbi Savar, individual shlamim requires tenufa when? After the animal has been shechted, so too again I will say what? Communal shlamim also require tenufa after shechita. Va'oki ba'asra hasam hu dechazei b'shok, and I will say establish it in its place. By zivchei shami tzibur, the tenufa is done when or with what? With the chest and the thigh. Aval hacha kimo shehen. So, but over here, ultimately, again, by individual shlamim, it's done as they are, i.e., the animal whole, kimo shehen b'chayim, as they were when they were alive. Okay, so the Gemara says, Amadezer will say, Rav Papa says, I was supposed to say, so this is one explanation of the Machlokis Rabbi and the Rabbanon. Rav Papa says, no. The Chuli Amma don mine umina, who? We'll say, in general, we say, don mine umina. which means ultimately what? That if you're going to learn out Shami Tzibar from Shami Yachid, if you look at Rashi, which is almost the first Rashi in Amud Beis, Don Mine or Mina, Shami Tzibar from Shami Yachid. And in fact, we're going to learn out communal Shlamim from individual Shlamim. Ma Shami Yachid tunin tenufa shchutin debechayin lo itzdrichle lemisne degufeksiv. So let's listen to this. So really, everybody agrees Don Mine umina. Well, say everyone agrees that you learn something out from the source law, and then ultimately, again, you continue to learn out from it. V'hainu time the Rebbe. So what's Rebbe's logic? So the Gemara says, ki hasam, ma hasam, just like Rebbe said, by Shami Yachid, gover shema tana l'kohen, you go ahead and what? You do tenufa on that which is a matana to the kohen. Af hacha, gover shema tana l'kohen. So too, by Shami Tzibor, you'll also go ahead and do tenufa on that which is a matana to the Kohen. Ravina, where Ravina has a different interpretation, he says, Duchuli Amma don mina v'uki ba'asra. Ravina says, Rabbi say, in this machlokis, everyone agrees that what? Don mina, learn out from it, v'uki ba'asra, but establish it in its own place. That's the case. V'ainu time in the Rabbanon. We'll say, what's the logic of the Rabbanon? Shamehem ribuyaku. We'll say, because the Rabbanon will say that ultimately the pasuk or the word shamehem is an additional ribui, which tells us ultimately again how tenufa is supposed to be done. Fine. So we'll say, so fundamental machlokis ultimately between Rebbe and the Rabbanon, ultimately how tenufa is done by the Shami Yachid, by the individual Shlamim. So ultimately again you have Rebbe telling us that it's done after Shechita, but it's done whole. I have the Chacham telling me that it's just done b'chazei b'shok. We'll say, how do we paskin? There's the Rebbe paskins like the Rabbanon, namely, that for Shami Yachad, for an individual Shlamim offering, ultimately, again, the tenufa is done, obviously, after Shechit, after the animal is slaughtered, but it's not done on the whole animal. It is only done b'chazei v'shok. It is only done with the chest and the thigh, like the communal Shlamim. So I'll say tenufa of Shami Yachad and Shami Tzibor after the Shechit are the same, and that they're both only done with chazei v'shok. Good, says the Gemara. So we'll say, the Gemara now quoting the last part of the Mishnah. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Shlosha minin tunin shalosh matzos. Shalosh mitzos, excuse me. Shtayim b'chol echad, ushlishis einbein. So we'll say, the Gemara now is going to pretty much restate that last part of the Mishnah in its entirety. Remember this piece? Rabbi Shimon said that there are three different items, there are three different sacrificial items, which require three mitzvos. But only two of the three apply to what? To each of the three karbanos. So between them, there are three concepts, but only two out of the three concepts applies to each of the karbanos. So ve'eluhin, what are they? Zivchei Shami Yachid, ve'zivchei Shami Tzibor, ve'ashem Atzar. So we'll say, so the three karbanos in question are individual shlamim, communal shlamim, and asham mitzora, the asham of a person at Tzaras. So here we go. Zivchei Shami Yachid, tu'unin smicha chayim, u'tenufa shchutin, ve'ein ban tenufa chayim. So we'll say, let's start first with what? Individual shlamim offering. So we'll say individual shlamim offering requires as follows. Number one, smicha. You have to lean on the animal while it is alive. It requires tenufa after the animal was shechted. But what? It has no tenufa while the animal was alive. So we'll say individual shlamim. So we'll say, remember, just so you understand, the three things we're talking about are smicha, tenufa when the animal is alive, tenufa when the animal is shechted. So, for example, Shami Yachid has two out of the three. Which two does it possess? Smicha and tenufa after Shechita. Which one doesn't it possess? Tenufa before Shechita. Okay, next. Zivchei Shami Tzibor. So, we'll say communal Shlamim. So, which two out of the three does it have? Tunin tenufa chayim u'shchutin. So, we'll say it has tenufa when the animal is alive before slaughter and tenufa after slaughter. What doesn't it have? Vein ben smicha. Doesn't have smicha. Good. Asham Mitzora. So we'll talk about Asham Mitzora. What two out of three does it have? Ton Smicha requires Smicha. Utnufa Chai. And it has Tnufa while the animal is alive. Ve'in bo Tnufa Shachut. But it doesn't have Tnufa after Shechita. So we'll say, see again, three concepts. Smicha, Tnufas Chai, Tnufas Shachut. And between these three karbanos, Shame Yachid, Shame Tzibor, Asham Mitzora, each of them possess two out of the three. None of them possess all three. Good. So ask the Gemara. V'yu zivchei shami yochei tunin tenufa chayim ikavach omer. But I don't understand. Going back to Shaliach for just a moment, you should have to do Tanufa. Supposed to remember again, what does Shalma Yachid, right, the Shalma of the individual, which two does it possess? Number one, Smicha. Number two, Tnufa La'achar Shchita. It has Tnufa after Amos Lors. The Gemara suggests, I don't understand, individual Shlomim should acquire Tnufa while the animal is still alive. How would I learn that? Not from a Kavach Omer. What's the Kavach Omer? Here we go. Uma Zivche Shami Tzibor She'in Tunin Smicha Chaim Tunin Tnufa Chaim. Supposed to listen to this. So, Kamino Shlomo, bless you. So, Zivche Shami Tzibor, Kamino Shlomo offering, that do not require smicha while the animal is alive. Yet, Tu'unin Tanufa Chayim still require Tanufa. Zivche, supposed to hear this. So, Kamino Shlomim do not require smicha, but do require Tanufa while the animal is alive. So, I'd say based on that, Zivche Shami Yochid, She Tu'unin Smicha Chayim. Eino din shetu'unin tenufa chayim. It's a good argument. What the Gemara is saying is as follows. That shami tzibar bos, which do not require smicha, which is an avoda while the animal is alive, still require tenufa while the animal is alive. So then certainly individual shlamim, which I will say what? Do require smicha. I would think once you require smicha, you should also have to what? You should also have to do tenufa while the animal is alive as well. To which the Gemara, it's good kasha. To which the Gemara says, mi trachman agabe zivche shami tzibar. Osam, the Rebbe will say, when it comes to the Zivchei Shami Tzibor, the Pasuk, right, communal Shlamim offerings, so the Pasuk, the Torah uses the word Osam, Osam, Vehinif Osam HaKoin. So we'll say Osam, Osam, what does Osam come to do? Osam Lemeute Zivchei Shami Yachid. Osam, we'll say, comes to exclude individual Shlamim offering from the obligation of Tanufa while the animal is still alive. Okay, it was a good try. So now I'll say next question. I should say that what? Zivchei Shami Tzibor, which are communal shlamim offering, should require smicha from a kavach omer. So again, remember, let's go back. Zivchei Shami Tzibor, communal shlamim offering require what? So what do they require? What do they require? They require ultimately, again, tenufas chai, right? Tenufas chai. Tenufa chayim ushchutin. I'm sorry. They require tenufa chay. They require tenufa both before shchita and after shchita. So I would say that ultimately, again, zivchei shami tzibor should require smicha from a kavachomer. What's the kavachomer? Here we go. Uma zivchei shami yachid shein tenunon tenufa chayim. So when it comes, listen to this. Uma zivchei shami yachid. When it comes to an individual shlamim, which do not require tenufa while they are alive, yet tu'unin smicha, they do require smicha. Zivchei shami tzibor she tu'unin tenufa chayim, eino din she tu'unin smicha. So therefore, again, I will say zivchei shami tzibor, which do require tenufa while the animal is alive, certainly should require smicha. Ravina says gemirei shtei smichos b'tzibor. Ravina says, I will say we have a halacha l'moshe m'sinai, a mesorah that tells us that there are only two communal offerings which get smicha. What are the two communal offerings which gets smicha? Rabbi, look at Rashi. Gemiri misinai beis smichos b'tzibor. Only two communal offerings which get smicha. Par ha'elam davar shel tzibor. So Rabbi say again, the par ha'elam davar, which is again is the offering that's brought when the tzibor, the community, commits a particular aveira. V'chsiv v'sam chuzikni ha'ida u'si'ira mishtaleach. And the si'ira, Rabbi say, that is sent into Azazel, ultimately on Yom Kippur. Those are the only two communal offerings which get smicha. No other communal offering gets smicha. And therefore what? Therefore halacha lemais, the zivchei shami tzibor don't get smicha. Good. V'hei asha metzora tam tenufa shachot. So we'll say, why doesn't the asha metzora get tenufa? Remember, the asha metzora gets smicha and tenufa when it's alive, but doesn't get tenufa after it's shechted. Why not? It should get tenufa after it's shechted. Mikavach omer. What's the kavach omer? We'll say first wide line on the bottom. By zivchei shami yachid, individual shlamim, it doesn't get tenufa while it's alive, but it gets tenufa after it's shechted. Asha metzora shetom tenufa chai. Ain odin shetom tenufa shachut. So we'll say Asher Metzora, which does get Tenufa when it's alive, certainly it should get Tenufa after it checked it as well. Mi et rachman agabe zivchei shami yachid. Most of the Torah uses it as an exclusionary or limiting phrase by zivchei shami yachid. Oso the me'ute Asher Metzora. Oso comes to exclude the case, ultimately, of Asher Metzora. Ten rabbanim, so we'll say the Gemara ends off with the halacha. Chamisha, so Chamisha, so it says, therefore again, so pretty much Rabbi Shimon's statement in the Mishnah stands. Three karbanos, each, right, each of, in between them, they each have, they embody three concepts, but no one of them has more than two of the halachic details. Tan Rabbanon, Chamisha Sheviu Karban, it's actually an interesting halacha. Chamisha Sheviu Karban, actually, I'm sorry, Chamisha Sheviu Karban Achen, I will say five people brought a joint carbon. They brought the carbon b'shutfas. What's the halacha? Echad meinif al yidei kulam. All you need is one representative of the group to do hanafa on behalf of the group. Because remember, I'm going to say, how does hanafa work? So tenufa works, so we'll say the kohen and the owner wave the item together. So the Gemara just tells you that halacha l'maaseh, if I have five people bringing a carbon, one person does tenufa with the kohen on behalf of the group. V'ha'isha, where, what about if a woman is bringing a carbon? Kohen Meinif Al Yada. Ultimately, you're going to say, although we established yesterday that the carbon of a woman is subject to the halachos of Tanufa, she does not do Tanufa with the Kohen. The Kohen does Tanufa on her behalf, with the exception of Sota. No point out yesterday that she does together with the Kohen. Ba'isha Kohen Meinif Al Yada, the Chena Shalech, Karbanosim, Medina Sayam. Kohen Meinif Al Yado. So it was say when one sends a carbon from overseas, ultimately again the Kohen does the tenufa on the individual's behalf. And I will say indeed, the Rambam codifies these halachos. Halacha l'mais. Let's listen to this. This is in Perek Tes of Hilchos Masei HaKarbanos, Hilchos Tes Vav and Tes Zayin. So the Rambam writes, Shnayim Shevi Yushlam B'Shutfus Ha'Echad Meinif B'Rishus Chavero Afilu Heim Mea Echad Meinif Al Yidei Kulon Mashein Kein B'Smicha. So also what's interesting over here is the Rambam does point out, again we'll see this later on, by smicha, which is the animals that require smicha, it could be that if you have multiple owners, you need to have multiple owners do smicha. Mashein came by hanafa, by tenufa, one owner could represent the entire group with the kohen. Haisa isha, balas hakarbon, eina manifa, avala kohen meinif shekarbona ton tenufa, vipsul tenufa. Uli olam ein isha manifa, ela hasota vanazira bilvad kimoshe be'arnu, utenufa kodemas lagosha b'chamakum. So we'll say, if a woman is bringing a carbon, as we established yesterday, her carbon is subject to the laws of tenufa, but she does not do tenufa together with the kohen, rather the kohen does tenufa on her behalf, with two exceptions. The two exceptions are sota and nazira. These are karbanos which the isha will do tenufa together with the kohen. And we'll say that Rambam just adds off by saying tenufa kodemas lagasha b'chamakom. That the halach is that tenufa ultimately again always precedes hagasha. Then the karbanos that require tenufa and hagasha, tenufa comes first, hagasha afterwards. And we'll say we'll stop over on the Eretz Hashem and pick up with the Mishnah tomorrow.